Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Titans destroy the Cincinnati Bengals yesterday, 27-3. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am full speed ahead on the package Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley deal.
Hey.
Both good. Of them. Okay.
I mean, with the Panthers being as bad as they are, too, you might have double the chances.
Well, and I'm a little concerned that, you know, the Bears will just get relegated to the Big Ten.
Or the Pac-12.
How about the MAC? Let's go MAC. How about some MAC shit for
rebuild
the Bears?
The
Pac-12? The Pac-3?
Yeah. Just put them in there. Okay. Corey, lots of impressive things from the Titans yesterday, obviously, in that win against Cincinnati. What were you most impressed by with the Titans and what they were able to do against Cincinnati?
Well, I think obviously Joe Burrow was limited offensively. So I'm going to focus on the offensive side of the ball for the Titans. And I was most pleased with, for them, Derrick Henry was able to run the football. I think on the first drive, which I don't know how many plays it was, but I know they had 8 run plays, and none of them were for negative yards or for 0 yards after having like 24 plays a week ago for 0 yards or less. And so, you know, the fact that Henry was able to get to the line of scrimmage without being hit was great, and that they were able to, you know, as they say, stay on track, but just, you know, get that line moving forward. And I thought that was, you know, because that ability to run the ball set up play action. And I thought once they hit a few play action things, that set up things more for Henry. You know, like they always talk about complementary football, but it all starts with getting off on the snap and knocking your man back. And they did some knocking people back yesterday.
So you got a good feel for what this team is, Corey? Where's it going here? Where's it going from here?
That Bengals team has problems right now, and I was shocked that they left Burrow in the game even after halftime because he can't throw the ball downfield. And just about anybody in the NFL can defend 10 to 15 yards, and that's all the Titans had to defend yesterday. It doesn't take away from that it was a good win, and it was a nice response, you know, to a week ago. They've played 2 teams with great defenses, and they've played 2 teams with not great defenses. And so against the not great defenses, they've scored 27 points each time. So 28 points continues to be the kryptonite. but, you know, we've seen them move the ball and score twice. I mean, they could have scored more yesterday if they wanted to. I just, you know, there wasn't a real, you know, emphasis. They were just, you know, churning clock trying to get out of there, and I don't blame them. I think that was the right strategy at that point. But, you know, I mean, I do feel like I know what they want to be. And I still think they can be a pretty good team. I don't know how good. You know, you got to get bodies back, which they're going to start to, you know, this week. And, you know, the other thing is we're getting through this first 6 games. You know, we looked at the beginning of the season, so the first 6 games are going to be, you know, the toughest part of the schedule. And, you know, when I don't know if I said this on your show or not, but I said 3-3, if they get through the first 6 games, they're in good shape. I said even 2-4 is doable. You know, it's not what you want, but that's not an impossible hole to get out of when you look at the rest of the schedule and the opportunities that are at hand when you get there. And so I think, you know, they're working themselves into a decent spot, and, you know, they got another big one this week. And, you know, once again, you know, they've got guys who can make plays. They've just got to make them on a consistent basis.
So I'd argue a little bit, Corey. I mean, I certainly thought the Bengals were supposed to be a good defense. That's part of why a lot of people picked them to go to the Super Bowl this year, right? And even the Chargers have a talented defense. I mean, like, I hear you on the other side of the ball. Burrow is limited, so you have to take this defensive performance with a little bit of an asterisk. But, I mean, I think that's a good defense.
It's not a bad one. I mean, I think they were ranked 12th in the NFL. Coming into the football game. And I could be reading this wrong. When I was watching the game, I felt like, number one, when the Bengals ran the ball on 3rd and goal at the 6 on the opening drive, I just was like, what on earth are they doing? You have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and you're not going to at least throw a jump ball to one of those guys? I mean, what on earth are you doing? And then I felt like as soon as the Titans got up like 10-3, that the Bengals kind of rolled over. They looked very disinterested in tackling Derrick Henry to me, kind of, at that point. And, you know, and the Titans took it to them. And I was disappointed because I expected to see more from them. I think Trey Hendrickson had 6 tackles, but I don't feel like he was a factor in the game.
Yep.
And we were all terrified coming in. What is he going to do to Andre Dillard in this offensive line? You know, we watched him on Monday night against the Rams. And, you know, he had 6 tackles, but he didn't wreck the game, you know, by any means. And then, you know, they made, you know, made stupid plays. I mean, they had a personal foul on 3rd and 16. I mean, that's a we've seen that. I mean, it can wreck things. And so we've seen that. And that was not smart. And it was a decent call. By the way, this has nothing to do with anything. That pass interference on Roger McCreary.
Oh my gosh!
First quarter,
that was a bad call.
Not only was it a bad call, but it was by an official who was 20 yards from it and was not in position to make the call. And as soon as I saw it, all I could think of is that commercial where they're talking about, you know, scripting the NFL season. You know, they're all together.
Yeah.
Because I was like, how on earth do you, you know, how on earth do you call that? And how on earth do you call that?
It's awful.
I mean, that is unbelievable.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, what did you make of the response by the offensive line in this game?
Mm-hmm.
And with Petit Frere now available, how do you handle the offensive line if you're Vrabel moving forward?
Well, I think it is a great response. It shows they've got some pride. Because, you know, when the rubber meets the road, you could go 2 different ways. You know, you can rise to the challenge or you can, you know, wilt off into the sunset. And they didn't. They, you know, they stepped up and, you know, how many bad starts have we seen from that group? And they put a drive together, opening drive, and went down the field. They were ready. And so that was great. And, you know, now you should be getting Peter Skoronski back, who is your best offensive lineman, and should make that group better, should make Andre Dillard better. As for Nicholas Petit Frere, you know, he's been gone for a while. So I don't think this is a situation where he comes back and boom, he's the starter at right tackle. I think he's going to have to practice for a while and they're going to have to figure out, you know, kind of what they want to do moving forward. I don't think he was particularly great in training camp in the preseason. I know he wasn't with his normal group, but I know going back to the Chicago preseason game, he wasn't great. And so it'll be interesting to see how that handles it, how they handle it. Like I said, I'd be surprised if they just plugged him right back in this week. I'm not saying they won't in a few weeks, but I think he needs some time to get up to speed.
All right, so let's have the Corey Curtis AFC South Power Rankings.
Oh, gosh.
2-2 all the way around.
Yeah, you know what? It'd be really, really hard to do it. I haven't watched the Texans because we've been watching the Titans when the Texans have been playing, and their results are kind of stunning, are they not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so you have to take that pretty seriously. The Colts are better, you know, than expected. They were getting whacked yesterday, but then, you know, came back against the Rams playing on a short week on the road. I think that may have had something to do with the Rams kind of folding up late. But, man, the Nacua kid continues to do it. Oh, gosh. You know, can I just put them all at one?
No. No.
No? Man. Shoot. Guys, I don't know. I don't know. I don't.
We've got Corey stumped. I love it.
You know, I would – you know what? I would probably just continue to go kind of the way I started the year, and that would be like Titans, Jags, Colts, Texans. But I certainly wouldn't be convicted about that because, like I said, I haven't seen the Texans play.
Yeah, and it's pretty wild to see what C.J. Stroud has been able to do and how good he looks so far.
Well, and who's he doing it with? Nico Collins and Tank Dell.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I mean, and they've put up.
And Robert Woods.
Robert Woods. Thanks, man. and Sergeant Schultz, the former Cowboy.
Yes.
I think he had a touchdown, celebrated by saying, "I know nothing."
thank you. Good Boomer reference for you and me to get.
Yeah. I think I used that line on Sports Extra last night. "I know nothing." So it's virtually impossible for me to do that. And it's kind of exciting that they're all in it. And it's kind of surprising. So we'll wait and see. We'll see if anybody stays healthy. You know, the Jaguars game yesterday was a little surprising. You know, I expected more from Arthur Smith. I guess, you know, Ritter is not great. And, you know, that looks like it's going to hold that team back this year.
Corey, last thing for you here. What did you make of NWI and the way that he stepped up yesterday with touchdowns and big plays in the absence of Treylon Burks?
Well, you know, going into the game yesterday, you know, I like to dabble in daily fantasy sometimes. And he was a flex play for me.
Because
he's cheap, number one. And number two, because Ryan Tannehill trusts him. And I knew going into this football game that NWI, I thought he's going to catch at least four passes. I don't know if they're going to be for 5 yards each or if there's going to be a big one in there, but I knew he was going to get the football because Ryan Tannehill trusts him. And so, you know, he also can block and make plays. You know, look, if Treylon Burks is out there and healthy, do I think he makes plays in this game? Yeah, I do. You know, Ryan Tannehill also had a pocket to throw from at times yesterday, which really helps, you know, when you can step into a throw and when you can actually see the receivers downfield and you're not running for your life. You know, it was better yesterday. And I guess they play actioned them to death, you know, once they started running the football. NWI was NWI. I mean, you know, he is not a star player. He's not explosive, but he is a professional. He is physical. He really sold out on that touchdown. I was really impressed by his effort to get into the end zone on the end of that play. I mean, he looked like, I see the line and I'm getting there. And you guys, if you're going to try to stop me, you're going to pay the price for it. And so I was really impressed by that. And, you know, he shows why he's on this football team. I think that was – yesterday was a good example of why he's on this football team.
Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Good talk to you guys. Have a good day. Really enjoyed that game Thursday night. It makes the unacceptability of
awesome.
My football team.
Mm, yeah. Glad you got that in. Yeah.
Really enjoyed that, too.
You know, when it was like 14-0, Robbie was the first person I thought of. And then I went to Twitter, and I'm like, yep, there he is.
There he is. He's yelling. He's got a dartboard with Matt LaFleur's face on it in his house. It's, everything's back to normal.
Oh, God.
It's beautiful. Thank you, Corey.
Team. Thanks, Corey.
Have a good day, guys.
Corey
Bye.
Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans' win against the Bengals yesterday. We'll get into the performance of the offense coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. The Titans win 27-3. They improved to 2-2 yesterday against the Cincinnati Bengals. And, Joe, it was a dominant performance. Cincinnati had the one drive, the first drive of the game, where they went up and down the field. Titans with a stop in the red zone to force the field goal. And that's pretty much all she wrote yesterday for the Bengals offensively. Titans have a 21-point stretch in the second quarter where they're scoring touchdowns left and right. They open the second half with a 10-minute, 22-second drive, get a field goal out of that drive. And at that point, it's 27-3. You know, more than half the third quarter's gone. The game's pretty much over at that point. What a drive by the Titans to come out in the second half yesterday to get things started there. But, you know, the offensive stretch there of the Nick Westbrook-Ikhine touchdown, the Derrick Henry touchdown run of 29 yards, and then capping it off at the end of the half with the Derrick Henry touchdown pass to Josh Wiley. You're talking about a 6.5-minute stretch there where the Titans looked as good as they've looked in a while offensively.
Yeah, six minutes, 21 seconds, three touchdowns. And it's, yeah, the Hopkins pass starts it, then you play action, trick play. It's fun, running, passing, it's all working. I mean, I thought that was the most fun Titans offense to watch since Arthur Smith was the OC, which is going back to 2020. I did, by the way, and we can all agree on last year. Last year was painful. It's actually, you know what? That's when one of Derrick Henry's jump passes worked. Also, was that was in the Green Bay game? Remember?
Yes.
That was the game. That was the one game where like Todd Downing's fun plays actually worked and didn't cripple the team. But last year was obviously hard to watch. So I went back to 21 when Downing was his first year of OC. They did have the 33-30 win at Seattle. Derrick Henry kind of just put the team on his back. They put 37 on the Jags, and the Jags were awful. But, you know, they put 37. 34 on the Bills in that fantastic Monday night game. 34 at Indy. So, I mean, they did have – I mean, they hit the 30. They also put 34 on the awful, at the time, Dolphins in that just awful, awful game.
So what you're saying is Todd Downing was an offensive juggernaut.
Well, he wasn't he wasn't terrible. Those are big numbers. But I still say that this offense – with everything, with Henry, bread and butter, getting it done, doing enough, being efficient, and Spears. I mean, his most exciting play, Corey from Clarksville. I love the analogies. Like, it was like someone crossing somebody over, like dribbling the ball, crossing somebody over on the fumble and pick up and run. But he's electric. And then you don't even have your most talented. To me, most talented. I know that's hard. Is Burks the most talented receiver? Okay, he's not the most talented receiver. He's not more talented than Hopkins, but I think he's the most explosive receiver on the team.
That's fair.
He's not out there, and still, everything is working. So I thought just from in terms of plan, play calling, the whole thing, the whole picture put together, it was the most fun to watch a Titans offense since 2020.
I agree. I mean, I thought they kept Cincinnati off balance yesterday. The running game was working well. Derrick Henry, 22 carries, 122 yards, 5.5 per carry. Obviously had the 29-yarder for the touchdown, which, by the way, that run was something special.
Yes.
Breaks three tackles on that play, cuts it back to the outside. That burst of speed at the end of the run to outrun the rest of the defense. It was a vintage Derrick Henry touchdown run. As a team, you rushed for 173 yards yesterday. And then Hopkins, 4 catches, 63 yards. You know, the numbers aren't special with him, but he made some big plays at key times for the offense. And NWI, I mean, in all seriousness, 5 catches, 51 yards, a touchdown yesterday. He played great in the absence of Treylon Burks.
He's been really good this year.
Yeah.
Called shot. NWI won't make the team. He's been really good.
Been doing one-arm push-ups ever since.
Look, I mean, that's – I mean, even week one, you know, it's like there is a trust with Tannehill and NWI, you know, that is undeniable. It's been built over years, and he's solid. You know, he does everything they ask him to do. He's making plays. You know, Zach earlier said he had, like, the most separation. I forget the exact number, but you know, like 4.32-yard separation. You know, see, here's where sometimes I have a problem with some of these numbers. I think the big reason he had that number is probably because of the one play where Tannehill actually missed him a little bit, and it was against some kind of a zone look, and he was just alone in the middle of the field.
No.
Was it a messed up coverage? I don't know. Or he just found a hole in the zone, but, you know.
Or he just blew past him because he's
blowing
past people.
Yeah. You know, like, is that 4.32? Is that only being tracked on when they're in man? Because if not, you know, like there's a play where the separation was like 10 yards.
Hey.
I'm just saying, like some of these numbers, they're good. They're helpful to understand things. Sometimes they can be skewed when the sample size is very small.
Chris Moore, another
Maybe
big,
I'm just mad at Zach for destroying me in fantasy
maybe
football.
Maybe so. Another big catch for Chris Moore down the field, a 44-yarder. So as you pointed out earlier, He's averaging 33 yards catch so far.
33 and a half.
33 and a half. Don't sell him short. Per catch for Chris Moore so far this season. Maybe you need to throw the ball to him a little bit more. If he's averaging that much.
I'm not against it.
I'm not either.
I mean, he goes up physically.
He does.
That catch at Cleveland, for as that's bad as catch. That's the amazing thing, is that there actually will be, in the Titans highlight reel at the end of the season, there will be one from Cleveland because that play was awesome. He goes up and gets it. He's physical. He looks fast out there. I say, certainly, like, if Burks isn't back this week, maybe a little. I thought we'd see a lot more Chris Moore actually in this game. And yeah. It still was just sort of, hey, man, Hopkins at NWI. Those are your bread and butter guys right now on the outside. How about this one from Ben from Nashville? Howdy, fellas. As much as it pains me to say it, we have to give Craig Aukerman some credit this season. Field goal kicking has been excellent. Field goal kicking has been – so, by the way, by that rationale, Jared has got to give him a lot of love, right? Because he's coaching Nick Folk up well.
Yeah.
To make those field goals.
I mean, he hits the 53-yarder yesterday, I mean, with ease.
Yeah. And
punter looked good.
He came back and thanked Aukerman for figuring out
yep.
how to help him make long – but I'll see. So Ben continues, great punt and kickoff coverages, even a decent return. Hey, it was a good day.
Coach of the year.
For special teams all around. But certainly, when you talk about all the elements of a winning team, who in the NFL right now has a better performing combo of punter and place kicker than the Tennessee Titans?
It's hard to come up with one, which is amazing given what we talked about with kicker heading into the year.
Nick Folk is.
He looks good.
It's absolutely automatic. And that has not – I mean, you really are talking suck-up pre-injury going years.
Yep.
So I'm going back to Arthur Smith in 2020 on the OC front, and we're going back to Ryan suck-up in his prime on the place kicker front.
What do you think the Titans found in the running game yesterday, and can they sustain that moving forward? Henry looked great. I mean, Spears didn't get a ton of carries yesterday. He did – I mean, he averaged 8 a pop. So you're talking 5 carries, 40 yards for him. What do you think the Titans found in the running game yesterday with the offensive line, with Henry, the whole package, and how it all flowed together for 173 yards?
Now, that's the thing about the Titans that it's like with Tannehill, I only think there's one week where obviously he struggled and just wasn't himself. Other than that, give Tannehill a chance, he'll make plays. The running game has looked good in 3 of 4 games, too, the exception being last week at Cleveland. But I think this is a pretty good run-blocking offensive line. And they certainly are not – I mean, it's different. You know, it's to me, I think it's a lot more gap scheme. They did the pitch. They did sort of a little – like a couple boundary pitches yesterday – try to get Henry going quickly, and it seemed to work pretty well. I mean, they had a variety of different things. You know, the constant diet of Derrick Henry outside zone is over now. Interesting, because it's years in the making of him perfecting that, but this is a different scheme. I mean, when you look at it yesterday, it's like, yeah, gap scheme, trying to get him going downhill. You get him with any momentum at all, and yeah, he's going to give you 3-4 yards. So as of right now, I like the Titans running game. Ask me in a week.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans offense, their performance yesterday against Cincinnati. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Titans improved to 2-2 yesterday, and they destroy the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe, as you look at Cincinnati, obviously Burrow is limited, and we'll see what that looks like and how quickly he can get back to being the Joe Burrow of old. Maybe it's too late by the time he gets back to it. How much trouble do you think they're in right now? They're 1-3. They play in a good division in the AFC North. And you have a quarterback right now that is obviously struggling through the calf injury. He's banged up. By the way, T. Higgins gets hurt yesterday with a rib injury, so there's no telling how long he's getting ready to be out. How much trouble do you think the Bengals are in right now?
Yeah, I'd say it's fair to freak out a little bit if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan. It's just Joe Burrow is I don't know, 40% of what he normally is. I mean, it's striking to see it in person. Again, good job of the Titans. They didn't give up the explosives. You know, they kept everything in front of them. They communicated. The pass rush was fantastic. So great job by them. Also, it helps when the quarterback you're playing, who normally is outside the pocket making plays, normally winging it all over the yard, can't throw like he normally does and can't run at all. I mean, he had one where he kind of got out of there and a normal Joe Burrow. Well, there was that, but the one I'm thinking of is, you know, normal Joe Burrow runs for the first down and he's just kind of hobbled. And then Jeff Simmons comes from behind and just trucks him. And it's like, geez, that's gotta smart to have Jeff Simmons come from behind and just put you on your side. A normal Joe Burrow, he's way past Simmons. Simmons doesn't catch up with him. So that's the reality of it. And I don't know what they do because they've decided to go with him here. To you know, you start out 0-2, and they decided to go with him. They got the Rams win. He tried to get even. And I think he needs at least a week to, you know, to do nothing. I mean, I'd also consider, like, he practiced all week. I'd also consider just maybe, I don't know, can you do mental reps, to quote Butch Jones on another thing?
Does he
thing?
Need to practice?
I mean, I'm sure that, you know, there's a time you're putting in plays. Sure. I'm sure it makes a difference, of course, right? That's why they – but I feel like it might require some kind of desperate act here to try to rest him and see if that thing will heal. They go to the Cardinals. I mean, they can win as currently constructed against the Cardinals this week. Not saying they will, but they can. Then you get the Seahawks at home, and then you have your idle week, okay? And that's when you –
what's that?
Yeah, you know what it is. And that's when you get – so can you get to that at – I mean, can you get to it at 3-3? Then you're – that's fantastic. Then you have to go to the Niners.
Yep.
Frankly, just sit them out. God. You go to the Niners, you get the Bills at home. Just sit them out for a month. Get to 3-3 and sit them out for a month. Yeah. And be 3-5, and then you start up with the Texans and see what you can do. But, no, it's a problem. And, look, this I tend to look at yesterday's game from the Titans' perspective with a lot more emphasis on the offense. Because, first of all, the offense obviously is the big question with the Titans, but I think that's a legit NFL defense. They just took it too, right?
Yep.
Now, I also think that defense, just like last week, we're talking about the Titans' defense, how much are they starting to, like, suffer from being paired up with an offense that can't get a first down? It wears on you. So maybe what the Bengals are going through offensively is wearing on their defense, but that's a good defense. I don't care. Anyway, that's a good defense. Those players are proven. Very good DC, and the Titans took it to them. I think that means a lot more for the Titans than what they did to the Bengals offense. But either way, the whole thing was probably pretty cathartic, right, for Titans fans.
100%. The one thing I will say is, you know, Cincinnati has invested a lot of draft capital and a lot of money in their offensive line.
Yeah.
We remember how bad the offensive line was a couple years ago, and they have totally revamped it. And I thought yesterday the Titans defensive front just kicked their butt. I mean, they kicked the butt of that offensive line. And I know Burrow couldn't move, so that certainly it makes a difference. But I thought that was exactly what you hoped the Titans front could be this year, was what they did yesterday against the offensive line. They hit the quarterback 9 times. They end up with 3 sacks. But they were caving in the line all day long in the passing game. And I thought that was the one part of yesterday where it was like, okay, that's the strength of the Titans defense, and they acted like it yesterday. Jeffrey Simmons, I thought, was great yesterday.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. I think the Bengals do have a pretty good offensive line. And that's where, like, if the Titans are going to be good, they need to kick the butts of good offensive lines, which they did yesterday. Now, again, Burrow usually helps himself a ton when he's healthy, and he helps his offensive line. He's just really good at navigating the pocket, extending plays and all that stuff, and he can't do it. So that helped the Titans. But, no, they need to be able to come out week after week and do that to offensive lines. Dennis says, does it seem like a trend where it takes getting embarrassed the previous week before the Titans come out prepared and focused for a game?
I
totally understand the sentiment. I do not think the Titans were unprepared or unfocused in Cleveland. I mean, they came out and the Browns threw the kitchen sink at them that first drive, and they missed some tackles and things like that. Again, like, you know, it should have been 13-9 at the half. Not a great performance, but you were in there. You're battling. And then eventually it snowballed on you and it turned into this big embarrassment. I don't think that they were unprepared or unfocused in that game, but they didn't play well and they got beat soundly. There is something to Titans look rough. Then they rally and make it, things are looking good for the Titans, and they come out and lay an egg. This has definitely happened under Vrabel. Now, Vrabel might say, and some other people might say, track any other team in the NFL week to week through a season, and you'll find three results that are way out of bounds good and three that are way out of bounds bad, and then whatever the team is the rest of the games. You know? I mean, you got to keep that in mind, keep it in perspective. But I do feel that the Titans have that, especially when it looks really bad. They typically respond with a good performance.
Well, that's the question we've been asking today. Like, which version of the Titans is for real? And it's somewhere in between. They're not as bad as they were in Cleveland. I don't know that they're as good as they looked yesterday against Cincinnati. But are you closer to the Cincinnati game moving forward than you are the Cleveland game? Like, can you find a way to, even if you're not putting up 27 a game and rushing for 173 yards every game, can you find a way offensively where this was a building week for you? Like, can you find a way to have some consistency on that side of the ball? Like, I think there's, you know, Indy, they've got a talented defense, but I think the Titans can move the ball on Indianapolis. We've seen the Titans move the ball on that Indy defense. So can you find a way to put together back-to-back good performances offensively? You brought up the home road splits today. Like, it's pretty dramatic right now how different they look at home and how different they've looked on the road to this point. So you're going on the road against Indy this week in a divisional game. Can you find a way offensively to get something done and to move the football there? I mean, we brought up the offensive line. They got some decisions to make this week. Hopefully Skoronski is back. But I just thought yesterday was a really good game plan from the Titans, a really good game plan from Tim Kelly and that offensive group. And to me, that's really encouraging about what they can be as they move forward here. Now, if you come out next week and the Titans can't block anybody again all of a sudden, then you're going to see a bad performance offensively. Like, I thought the offensive line responded really well yesterday. And I know Cincinnati, they end up with 3 sacks and 7 quarterback hits. So it looks like, from a box score perspective, kind of more of the same. But I thought the offensive line responded really well yesterday after the Cleveland game.
Yeah, it was much better. And they did some interesting things. I mean, at one point, I have to go back and rewatch it, but at one point, the plan on Hendrickson to help Dillard was Brewer over there. And like, man, that's an interesting blocking scheme. You got Brewer sprinting over from center to double Hendrickson. They did some different things, but ultimately, Tannehill had time, and he had a pretty good-looking pocket a lot of the day, and you see what happens. If somebody said going to these two games, it would be final score, Titans 30, Browns and Bengals 30. I would have said, oh, yeah, that sounds about right. So the Titans win one of them 17-13. They lose one of them 17-13. But instead, it's actually, you know, just as bad as it can get and just about as good as it can get offensively yesterday. You know, if Tannehill doesn't throw that late pick and they go score a touchdown or you just get to 30 with a field goal, you know, then there's no doubt. They can't seem to, you know, 27's the ceiling. But 27 – most weeks is going to win for you.
They've now gotten to 27 twice, which they did not do last year.
That's right. That's right. So, but no, it's, I mean, I don't know what we're going to see this week. I agree with you. They should be able to move the ball on the Colts. Was yesterday for the offensive line, a clear step forward that they can build on? Because, again, you get Skoronski back, and you're going to be better. Just instantly you are better with Skoronski in place of Radins at left guard.
Lance on the text line says, y'all better give some love to Stonehouse pinning him back. Stonehouse not very active yesterday.
Two punts,
both inside the 20.
Yep.
Which you love to see.
Absolutely. And a net of 45.5, that's great.
Yep.
No returns. You know, there's a lot that's going well for the Titans right now.
I said it
after one win.
I know. I said it yesterday too. I thought Mason Kinsey, decent job doing punt returns. It's probably, if Kyle Phillips comes back, might be the last we see of Mason Kinsey, but I thought he did a decent job returning the punch yesterday.
That'll be interesting. Yeah, I think it has to be because, you know, you're not going to have Kinsey activated just to be a punt returner.
No.
But it's also, there's the whole Kyle Phillips, keep him healthy, et cetera, et cetera. Do you want him out there taking hits on punt returns when it's been hard to keep him in one piece, when he could help this offense, I think, quite a bit as a slot receiver?
Yeah. Dylan on the text line says, the success is John Robinson's fault, with a crying, laughing emoji face. A lot of John Robinson blame last week, so does he get the credit this week for the roster that is still here?
Let's see. What John Robinson – I mean, you know, there's a lot of John Robinson guys out there making plays.
NWI making plays.
NWI, there you go. The defense, you know, defense, most of those guys are John J-Rob guys.
You know who I thought was really good yesterday defensively outside of Simmons? I thought Alshire was awesome yesterday.
No doubt. And they – and there's another thing to look at and count up, but, I mean, he blitzed a fair amount. You know, they had the Alshire Byard combo blitz at one point, which got right home to Burrow. But I agree, all over the field, he looked good. For the most part, I think he's been good this year. He's made a couple mistakes, right? And, you know, he bite on the, you know, on the double move last week and some personal fouls, but he's been pretty good.
615-737-1025, your final thoughts on the Titans, their big win against Cincinnati yesterday. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. By the way, Jonathan Taylor, eligible to be activated from PUP today by the Colts. So, interesting timing on that one. We'll see if he plays on Sunday.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. And now, you know, we could be talking about fines and things like that. The Colts have kind of played nice. That's going to be really interesting. Maybe he's excited about what he sees. And bygones be bygones. All of a sudden, he's part of that offense. But I don't think that's how it's going to go.
I don't think it is either, but we'll wait and see what happens on that front. Derrick Henry, 22 carries, 122 yards, a touchdown for the Titans on the ground yesterday, another touchdown through the air, which we talked about this earlier. It was kind of amazing to me that Wiley got as open as he did on that play. Just given the situation, the Titans didn't have any timeouts. You're 13 seconds left in the half. So if the Titans, like if they run the ball there and Derrick Henry gets stopped, it's going to be not impossible, but very challenging for the Titans to get another playoff. By the time you get everybody up, you get them off the pile, you respot the ball, like it'd been difficult for the Titans to get another playoff that way. So the fact that Wiley was just standing by himself, like waving in the back of the end zone, is pretty incredible that Cincinnati let that happen.
Yeah, the fact that they got to see it, and you have to know, I don't know, I'm sure there are certainly some examples of Henry just in the low red zone, taking a wildcat snap and running it in. Yeah, that's happened. But, I mean, you know, he's thrown several touchdown passes out of that look, out of that basic look, basic, you know, wildcat, whatever they're doing. And then you see Jeff Simmons on the field. So, oh, what does that mean, right? But you have a timeout. They come out in the same thing, and you're and the weak side tight end is just leaks out all by himself. Pretty amazing.
Trey. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Henry was told by Tannehill. According to Wiley, Tannehill said, yeah, if it's not there, seventh throw of that thing.
Yeah.
And then so they can – you cannot go week back-to-back weeks and blow a sure field goal, you know, inside the 10-yard line.
No question about it. Trey on the text line says, so congrats to the Titans for beating a struggling Bengals team. Credit where credit's due. Let's say the Titans stabilize and are a fringe playoff slash first-round exit team. What's the next move to break out of the Nashville mediocrity curse that plagues our teams? I feel like this team doesn't have a plan. It feels like last year's Preds team, pre-trotsification. I like pre-trotsification.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I'm here for some Debbie Downer after a huge win like that. I mean, look, it's a fair question. That's still I don't know about doesn't have a plan. I mean, I think the plan is that Will Levis, who you just moved up to take at the top of the second round, becomes your quarterback and becomes a franchise quarterback and then is that guy and you have him on the rookie deal and you have a lot of money to do a lot of things around him.
That's the plan. Now, right. Whether it works out that way or not, we don't know, but that's the plan.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work or if it's going to go that way, but I think that's the plan. I mean, as far as the media, you know, the mediocrity curse, I think at this point, you're in the season. You win a game like that, And, you know, I don't think it was ever a serious consideration to trade Tannehill, you know, something like that. Like the unless you went totally to the toilet bowl. So now it's about what, how good can this team be? What can this team build into? I'm not ruling out this team being good enough to beat another AFC team in a playoff game. Long way to go to even get there.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Herb in Bowling Green. Herb, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good morning. Look, it was a great game, but there's one play that really ticked me off. It was the first drive. They're in field goal range, third down and three, and they go empty backfield. Well, of course, what happens when you go empty backfield? They come flying in, hit Tannehill, and they made the field goal harder than it needed to be. It doesn't make any sense when you only need 3 yards and you got two downs to do it, to go an empty backfield like that. That kind of ticked me off and looked Todd Downey-esque.
Hey, thanks for the call, Herb. Todd Downey-esque.
Did he just say Todd Downey-esque?
There's a lot of Downey on the text line that we get.
Yeah,
he's related a lot of Todd, to Robert Downey Jr.
Right, right. Actually, I did. I know what you're talking about. There were a few times yesterday.
They
third
got
downs when they're going
play.
Empty, and it's like, yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like a back. You know, you can do different things other than a back with pass pro, but
right.
I do feel like it's not a bad idea to have a back back there. And yeah, I thought that might cost them 3 points, and then Nick Folk comes out and said, nope,
just drills it,
no problem.
Andrew from Dover on the text line says Taylor Lewan can rest easy now about the 4 sacks he gave up. Khalil Mack destroyed the Raiders on his own yesterday, 6 sacks.
That's
did you see
amazing.
That?
That is incredible.
6 sacks for Khalil Mack yesterday.
And still Brandon Staley tried to blow that game. He tried.
He is terrible. He's awful.
I mean, it's just whatever. Like, just do, like, just try different stuff. He always kind of does the same thing, and yeah. It almost always doesn't work.
He's just terrible.
Yeah, luckily for the Chargers, you got Aiden O'Connell in there at QB and just rookie mistake. But he looked pretty good.
He did. So 4 weeks in, AFC South, every team's 2-2. Texans get a huge win yesterday. They destroyed Pittsburgh. C.J. Stroud looked great. Jacksonville gets back on the right ship in London yesterday against Atlanta. Colts lose a tough one. They were down big in that game. They force overtime. Stafford wins at 29-23 for the Rams, but 4 teams at 2-2 through 4 weeks. I did not have that one on the bingo card, but it's a very intriguing division 4 weeks into the year.
It is. I think the most intriguing team is Houston. And I'm with Corey. I won't be able to watch a lot of them, but C.J. Stroud, how about that? Cameron says, the plan is desperately clinging to 8-9/9-8, just like 90% of our existence. I understand the sentiment. It's
gosh,
the NFL.
Can we not enjoy one game?
I know. But you know what? That's okay. I think after a big win, I enjoy people who come in with Debbie Downer stuff. Just like last week, the 2 out of 1 million people who commented were like, hey, all is not lost. Yeah. It's not over.
That's true.
You know, I like that too. But again, that Cameron, it's always important to remember that is what the NFL wants all teams to be.
Yep. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Dwayne. Dwayne, thanks for calling in. We got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I just want to mention, yesterday the commentators mentioned about 16 times how Joe Burrow wasn't 100%. And I think just, you know, in the NFL, you can't bring that to the table. It really minimized what the Titans did. Last year, you know, Big Jeff wasn't 100%. You know, we had to play these teams, and I think from what the Titans did yesterday, shame on those commentators for putting too much emphasis on that. You know, you play with what you got, and, you know, I just don't think that was good.
Thanks for the call, Dwayne. Appreciate it. I hear what he's saying.
I hear you, but
I mean, it's pretty clear. Like the
talking about an MVP candidate.
We all know what Joe Burrow is, and he is a far cry from that right now.
So you see him at his best, and that was not that yesterday. So I think, you know, Joe Burrow is one of the stars of the league, right? That's part of it too.
Good win for the Titans, though.
Yes, who are desperately clinging to 8-9/9-8. Cameron,
talk
Debbie
about
Downer.
About as bad as it gets against the Browns, and you respond with a game that's going to be hard to top this year. I mean, it was a great performance from the Titans yesterday, and now it sets up a big one with Indy coming up on Sunday.
That you have to win.
You have to win it, and you got to go on the road to do it. But we'll see what that looks like for the Titans. We'll look ahead to that matchup all week long here on the show. That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.